Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your host, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros.
Call!
The call number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, with my buddy in crime, David Tucros.
Hey, I am over here on the other side of town, actually, tonight, so we're doing a call-in thing.
That's right. What's going on, my friend?
Oh, not too much. We had a beautiful weekend. We had a lot of rain before that, and storms, which, you know, that's just nature's way, but cleared out for the weekend, so we all kind of decided to head down to a place called Clear Creek in just north of Hocking Hills, I guess. It's kind of in the Hocking Hills area here in Ohio, and someplace I'd never been before. So we decided to meet up at a kind of an overlook area with a shelter house, and Lori came with me this time, and so it was a good drive, except when we got to that one part where the potholes were amazing.
Potholes in my lawn, man.
They were huge, like dodging like bomb craters and stuff, you know. So we made it through that and up the hill, and it was a great time, you know. Just perfect weather and good picnic and good fellowship there, drumming, and yeah. So that was a good time.
Yeah, this whole week. Well, that was a week. Just beautiful weekend. That was nice to hang out with you guys and just drum. And I tell you, I went hiking with Tony, Adriana, and Mary, and I was just, man, it was rough. It was kind of hard going up the hill. Going down wasn't so bad, but going up was like, woo, I'm out of shape.
yeah, we're feeling the effects of the winter, you know, kind of semi-hibernation mode we were in for a while. But now that spring's here, you know, weather's better, and trails are opened up, and you know, it's back to getting back into nature and back out there.
Absolutely. And then yesterday I just kind of had to stay around here, and so I made myself busy at my house and worked on the yard. I mowed the yard today. I couldn't really go do what I had to do, just, you know, some things with family we had to take care of, you know, just life.
Yeah,
reminds you that, you know, even though there's sunny days, there's some things that sometimes you have to kind of look at and just kind of address at points. So, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Man plans or woman plans, and then spirit changes it. So,
right.
That's okay. I'm good with that.
That's right. It's how adaptable we are to it. You know, that really shows when we let spirit be in charge and kind of go, okay, you know, this is what I need to do instead of really what I wanted to do, or this is what needs to be addressed. You can kind of put that on the shelf without feeling too much like, oh, you know, I'm being denied what I wanted to do. You understand it's all part of just being present in the moment, being of service, being available, you know. You never know which job you're going to get, you know.
Yeah, and summer's long, you know. Summer's long. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of summer to – we still got to get through spring, but it's going to be nice.
Right.
It's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it.
Got all kinds of plans and things I want to do, so just kind of got to, schedule it out, or – you know, make sure I don't overload too much on one end of it, and just, you know, I want to accomplish some things and still take it easy, you know, and make it feel and be spontaneous and able to adapt, like I said. So, you know, it's a balancing act.
Absolutely. Being spontaneous sometimes, it's hard for some people to be spontaneous, you know, because it requires just doing something out of the spur of the moment and just kind of and, you know, that was kind of one of those things that was happening to me on Friday. I wanted to be spontaneous, but I was like, no, I don't want to be spontaneous. I need to try something different. I need to try to have a little more, you know, corral myself a little bit just to see what it was like. And, you know, it was hard, man. It was a little bit harder than I expected. I was like, okay, why is it so hard? It's because, you know, that's not my nature. My nature is to kind of move with the flow, and what the flow is moving me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm stifling it. So I was thinking, wow, man, I'm really what is wrong with me? Because it carried all the way into Saturday, if you could tell. I was just not myself at all.
Yeah.
I was just trying to do something different. I was trying to be a little different, you know, I guess it didn't work out too well.
That's a good reminder, though, you know, that you really should be yourself, even if it, you know, even if other people don't understand it, or, you know, it's not flowing with the way they're flowing. It's better than feeling artificial about it, you know?
Yeah, so what I kind of did is just like a little experiment with myself. I wanted to see, because you hear what people say about, you know, how they experience you, how they, you know, experience is huge, a huge word, and, you know, how they resonate with you through those experiences. So I'm like, okay, some people say I'm too loud, and some people say I'm too crazy, and some people say I don't talk enough. So I wanted to see myself from a different point of view and just see if I acted a certain way, and maybe I'm being too loud or too big energy. But then I was, you know, finally got to today is when I had really a realization to reflect back on the last 3 days of me trying, not necessarily trying to be somebody else, but trying to tone down myself a little bit and try to, you know, it was almost like conforming, you know, it was almost like trying to be somebody who you weren't. And it was really, right. It was really weird. I was thinking, man, I don't like that, you know. And I'm not trying to be one of those people who's like, well, if you don't like me this way, then you know, I want to show people that I also have another side of myself, not just always this fun loving guy who's always having a good time and seems to have no worries in the world. But, you know, and it was a good lesson. It was a good exercise for me. It was very good.
Yeah, that's what we mean about stepping out of your comfort zone and trying something new. Just a different style, different approach, a little bit to life. Of course, us who know you well, you know, that was kind of weird, but, you know, I can see that. You know, like sometimes you look at your wardrobe and you go, yeah, I think I'd like to try a different look. But then you find out when you look in the mirror, and it really doesn't look good on me. So that's why I don't wear that, you know. But it's not.
Yeah.
It never hurts to give something a try. You know, we change through life, so maybe, you know, trying a different style once in a while might show you that the old style is still, you know, isn't working now. So I don't know, but we like you the way you are. So keep it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was an incident where, you know, we were hiking, and there was this little enclave, this little cave dwelling little thing, and they got to it, and I don't know, I just had this big imagination it was going to be bigger. But anyhow, when we got to it, it was like, get in, Iggy, get in. I'm like, no, I don't want to get in. You know? And several times,
you'd be the first one in there, right, you know?
Yeah, you know, and everybody's like, you know, everybody got in and took pictures and they're ha-ha, having a good time. And then my friend asked me again, you know, my friend Anthony asked me again. He goes, get in. Why don't you get in? I'm like, nah, I don't feel like it. I don't want to.
Yeah.
And part of me didn't really want to get in there, so... But it was just one of those moments. But it was interesting because I went back and I'm going, well, I don't know what that was all about, you know. I'm just going to be different today. I'm going to be a different type of bear. I'm a bear who doesn't want to go inside the cave. So I may have come across a little butthole, but, you know, that's just kind of where I really needed to be this weekend. But you guys love me either way. You guys still...
Oh, yeah.
Still showed your compassion and love for me, so... That's good. But
that is true. Yeah. Yeah. It's just with the turning of the season, you know, we're kind of shaking off some of the winter and trying to breathe in some fresh air. You know, the other day the wind was really blowing outside. You know, I think it was changing from the cloudy cold weather to where this warmer weather was moving in. And I just felt drawn. You know, it was like 4:35 in the morning, and the wind was really whipping out there. And the dogs didn't even want to go outside. You know, they stood on the porch. But I stood out in that wind for a minute, and it felt, I breathed it in as it was coming, and I let it flow around me. And it was like, it was filling me up with this fresh air, and this it felt like I was being renewed. Like, you know, you get a fresh, you know, flow of energy, and things kind of, I imagine things kind of falling off that were, you know, still hanging on from the winter and everything. Was good to get out there. And I think that's the power of nature, is to give us that revitalization sometimes. You know, people run and hide from things like that. They're running, oh, it's too windy outside, or it's raining outside. But when you connect with that, there's a real healing power, and there's a real energizing connection with nature there. And, you know, I embrace that. I don't hurry when it's raining, even no matter how hard it's raining. I just walk my normal pace, and I reach out and feel the raindrops and maybe even turn my face up to it. And that's just water. It's not going to kill you. And another thing, you know, it's nature, and I like the feel of nature on me. So, you know, I'm not one of those that runs and hides from the rain.
Yeah, it's really purifying and cleansing. So it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Today I was out in the yard working, and I got some raindrops hit me. I'm like, oh gosh, I better pull the mower out because the grass is growing. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, you know,
right.
The yard long and shaggy. My hair is long and shaggy as it is.
Well, you know, it's like really taking off since the last couple of days when the sun's come out now. Like everything's greening up really fast. Yeah, I know.
My neighbor down there.
What are you building? By the way,
go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, by the way, what are you building in the backyard there? I see pictures of it.
Oh, yeah. My neighbors, that's what I was going to tell you. My neighbors were asking me, so what are you building there? They asked me the same thing. I said, well, I'm building a medicine wheel garden. They're like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Because you have to do it in little layers and stages. And now, right now, I'm laying all the cardboard down. The cardboard is to, you know, smother out the vegetation and the growth. But as you do that, the worms come up because it causes a moisture barrier. And that moisture barrier, when the stuff starts to decompose and break down, the worms, it just fills that whole area and makes it really high in nutrition, high in, it causes the aeration in the lawn and stuff. So what I do inside the cardboard areas, I will actually cut little areas of holes where I'm going to plant the plants. So I actually plot my little garden with the cardboard. It's kind of like a little map. And so I'm that also is the weed barrier. So anything that won't grow, put the plants in, set them up, and then I will put mulch around it, and it just keeps it real nice all season long, and it'll last two good seasons that way. The type of cardboard I'm using, the thicker cardboard. So that's what I'm building back there. I'm gonna put sage back there, Native American tobacco, fennel, mullein, all kinds of different things that I, you know, that we have in the tobacco that we use for our ceremonies. But I'm also putting cilantro. I'm also putting basil, and I'm gonna on the top of the border. I'm gonna make like a gutter, a set thing, where I'm gonna plant strawberries top. They're kind of like hanging strawberries, and then every corner. There's eight corners. There's eight different spokes in this medicine wheel because they represent the Nemanja medicine wheel. Then it represents also the South American medicine wheel, the Incas. You know, the indigenous people of Peru. So I'll have those representations. I'm going to try to make the colors in all the different types of mulches that I can find or stones. So it's going to be really nice and really cool when it's done. I don't know if you remember the one we built together several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
At first, it was kind of small, and then all of a sudden, it just went, blew up, you know.
You know, when you build plants that live in a community like that together that are compatible, and they just take off together. I mean, it's a natural pairing and, you know, blending of things that support and nurture each other. And when you do that, then it takes care of itself practically. I mean, you may need to do a little weeding here and there, but, you know, building in permaculture, they call them plant guilds, I believe. Related plants that, one gives the other one something, it gets back and they grow. And, you know, it's that's the way nature intended it. It's not like this artificial kind of monoculture or, you know, artificially created things that we make. You know, we can make beautiful things, but they're only really beautiful to our eye because we can't see through nature's eyes that, you know, that the beauty of interwoven kind of relationships that those plants have, you know. And when we're building permaculture food forests, for instance, that's when we really get into, building on layers, you know, like we have the trees, which create a drip line, and then that drip line we plant bushes, and the bushes also have, you know, lower vines and things like that, and you just get all the way down into the underground things, and it's a whole living synergy of, you know, plants and pretty self-sustaining, you know. Food forests that were created 300-500 years ago are still there, And, you know, whereas, you know, with modern agriculture, every year it gets cleared out and replanted and cleared out and replanted. You don't
Absolutely.
Need to do that. That's nature's way, you know. So
I'm also going to put in around the tree lines, like you were talking about, I'm going to be putting raised beds. We're going to actually, what we built at the old house that we were at. And I'm going to put some gardens in there so there's more room to grow things. Actually, when you have the mound system, things you can put more capacity and more stuff on these little mound growths compared to having everything flat. You can actually create, you know, it's just the whole kind of stuff. I mean, these are the things that we were studying a while back when we were studying with Nemenhof, the permaculture courses that we were doing. But there's a whole bunch I'm going to implement it here. Put some fruit trees in the back. I'm designing the back. It's going to be a couple stages, depending how long I'm here. But I'm going to at least work on that this year, you know, do what I can, get it going, get it, make it nice and easy. There's a lot of room back here.
Yeah, there is. You know, most lawns, most yards have more than enough room to grow enough food for the family and then some. So if we devoted even half of our yards to growing food, and we would be very close to being self-sufficient, maybe not completely, but, you know, go a long way towards reducing trips to the store and, you know, the processed foods that we have, and just would help us be more closer to home and closer to the earth, you know. So I'm all for
that. Creating composting bins too in the back here. So everything that, you know, like eggshells and certain types of like fruits to the skins and things, and I'm just putting everything, grass clippings, trying to collect it all and just use that so I can, you know, keep the gardens going and keep them, because that natural made compost is really good, you know, no, you can't beat it. So that's what I've been doing all winter long, just saving all that stuff and just moving it, turning it. So it's going to be a pretty interesting project that I've taken on back here at my house.
Yeah, I remember back at the other house when we were cleaning out the pool, you know, we had all that muck and guck and stuff, you know, and we ended up using that to help re-nourish the soil that we had there too. So everything's got a useful purpose, you know, and
absolutely.
When you got to look at it through the eyes of nature and see it for its value.
Yeah. So if you ever guys want to build a medicine wheel gardens, David and I know how to do it, and we know permaculture techniques. So if you're interested, let us know. We can help you out with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'd like to see those become more prevalent throughout neighborhoods and things like that, and, you know, communities. It's a way of bringing back the old ways and at the same time helping us out now with some of the, you know, the things that we want to have close. You know, you want to have fresh herbs, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables close to you instead of having to jump in the car, drive over there, spend some gas, spend some money. It just makes more sense to live like that again.
You know, what's funny is I was reading an article about permaculture gardening that you don't need a whole lot of room. I mean, even just half of what, you know, even what you have at your house, you can build a huge, but I mean, you know, and just make amazing things out of it. But I was reading this little article that's like this man had created a backyard garden, and he sustained himself like the whole, you know, season. And I think he made like 40,000 or 50,000 that year just from the things he grew in his yard, and just sold it like at little markets and stuff. You know, little, what do you call them, CSAs and stuff. So I was like, man, that's incredible, you know. It takes a lot of dedication. Takes a lot of work, but I was just like, wow, that was amazing, you know. And it's something that grows on its own, so it's not like something that just you have to start. There'll be some things that you might have to grow again, but it's like you said, it's a food forest. So the idea is for it to actually take on a life of its own, where you don't have to do anything to it. You can walk away from it and come back 5 to 10 years later, and it's still doing the same exact thing.
Exactly. Yep. It's all in the engineering, you know. Permaculture is really all about knowing the land and the layout of the land and how to effectively work with nature. You know, our modern attitude is so much like, well, I see this land and I'm going to plant corn on it and I'm going to do it this way. And instead of going, you know, what does this land offer? How can I work in cooperation with it? What's the lay of the land? How can I use that to channel water, you know, to where it needs to go? how can I work the edges of the property are really where a lot of the action is, you know, in permaculture, edges are really important. So instead of being neglected, you know, and the way most people do is just cut them back, really you plant things there because it's sometimes there's windbreaks, sometimes it just offers a better platform sometimes for things
to
grow. And it's all about knowing that and all about if you spend the time and invest the attention into engineering it, like I say, if you put it in there right and maybe care for it a little bit the first year, second year, and then by that it's taken off. I remember that from our experience there, you know, and they had that butterfly garden that was just pretty much
that was
took care of itself. It was drawing in all the butterflies and the bees, those pollinators and those caretakers of the plants, you know, and it felt good. It felt good to be connected again like that, to be working with nature and in a partnership there.
Well, that's the cool thing about it, you know, I remember butterfly garden. That was amazing. That was so beautiful. Didn't take long for the butterflies to show up either, so it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We had a nice yield too. We had a nice yield. We had good things growing, and it was amazing. Pretty amazing. I'm kind of visualizing, so I'm kind of going off in my head. I'm like thinking about it.
Yep, that's right. Then we had the labyrinth there too, so we had a little sacred space, you know, and
mm-hmm.
a place to, because that's part of it too, you know. You want to hold up. You want to be connected with the land in lots of ways, and the space there. So, you know, it's kind of a little area where we could walk the labyrinth and sit and drum and meditate, and it's good. It's good, you know, and we'll recreate that other places too. It's just it was a good experience to get our feet under us.
You know, it kind of leads us into another topic that we've all been kind of talking about is intentional living, intentional community, and this is actually a good playground, a good, you know, learning place to be learning these kind of things because you come to a point where you're either going to stay in society or you're going to move away from it, but be away from it in a different capacity where you're not so dependent on it. You can actually you can drive to it if you like or you don't, you know. And we've been
mm-hmm.
Talking about that for a couple of years, and we put it on the back burner, and now you seem to be kind of bringing it back out again.
Yeah, it's an idea that you know, it's almost like it wasn't quite time yet. Now it's getting to be more the right time, the right alignment of people and circumstances and coming into it. It's something that's, it's always been on my mind because I don't really trust that cities are always going to be where we'll be safest and where we'll need to be because I think that they represent an old model of living. I think they represent the corporate kind of, you know, everything gets shipped in and everything gets provided, you know, by a higher authority. Whereas with community, you are pretty much responsible along with your neighbor for, you know, keeping the community going and, you know, it's a closer relationship, and you don't have to rely on the powers that be to provide for you, because whenever you take something from them, you make an obligation and a bargain that
.
So now we're responsible for you, and you know we own you more or less, you know, you have to answer to us for this, and you know, if push comes to shove, you know, the cities might not be the place to be. So we're looking, you know, we're looking for area, land, we're getting ideas together, kind of putting a blueprint out so that when the circumstances come together and the time is right, you know, we'll have a viable plan to put into action. So permaculture is a big part of that because, you know, that's where we're going to be getting most of our food and, you know, we're going to want to show that as a showcase for other people to come in and go, what's permaculture all about? Well, here it is, you know, and here's how you do it. And, you know, bring in people for seminars and classes and show a natural way of living that we're meant to live. You know, we're stewards with the land, we're caretakers with the land and responsible. So, community definitely is on our minds now. And you know, once you put something out there, you know, the opportunities start to show up. So I wouldn't be surprised if it manifests itself here pretty soon.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, like anything, it's a slow process. You know, good things usually come to those who wait sometimes. And kind of like a garden, you know, it doesn't just grow. You have to love it. You have to tend to it. You have to, you know, water it. You have to prune it. You have to do all kinds of little things. So this community is kind of the same way, you know, that we're talking about. What it looks like, right. It's probably all in our heads, kind of what we want it to look like. But outside of just growing gardens and stuff, there's other things you can do, too. You can create crafts. You can do all kinds of things and dedicate your work to, you know, going to festivals and shows or having a festival at your place. I mean, there's some communities that do that automatically. They have their own little, you know, festivals and things to share kind of what you're talking about. But,
right.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The world is your oyster. Or your strawberry plant.
Yeah, you know, exactly, you know, and I foresee, like, having a big central area where we have, you know, what do I want to say, like a fire pit and then some covered area around that and, you know, a council house and, you know, some maybe a little tiny house village and you know, a cob house village and maybe a couple of earthships and, you know, just some things that we can put out there that to demonstrate the different types of sustainable housing and sustainable living. We can bring people in for healing seminars. We could have, you know, areas for people to practice their healing arts and, you know, and just all, there's all kinds of things we can have. Walking trails and the labyrinth park, you know, and the ideas just go on and on. It's better, the more people that get involved, the more ideas you get, and it just grows on its own. So, good stuff.
Yeah. Let's take a quick little break, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You're listening to WithInsightsRadio.com. This is Iggy and Friends. My friend David Tucros is with me tonight. And we thank everybody for tuning in tonight and listening. If you have any questions, the call-in number is 646-595-3440. 646-595-3440. Or in the chat room, we also have folks there. If you have a question in the chat room, just type away, and I'll read them to you. But, yeah, we've been kind of talking about permaculture, intentional community, and different things like that. So that's kind of where the topic's been. But I wanted to go back a little bit about something that we had an interview here a couple weeks ago, maybe? No? A week, a couple weeks ago? With Dan Lee. I don't know, Don Lee or Dan Lee. Remember Dan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he had brought up a topic about the now. Remember, I don't know if you remember the now. You know, this new craze about being in the now. And so
right.
I was listening. But I was listening to another show that I thought was really interesting, and got me thinking. It's a friend of Mark's and ours. His name is Kevin Morris, KLF. He, towards the end of his video, he brought up about how he didn't necessarily think about the now being like this, you know, he saw it differently. And I'm like, that makes sense to me, because I'll explain what I'm saying here. He was talking about how the now is now, that every moment's the now. You know, even when you have memories and things that come from the past, that come to, you know, present themselves into the future. And I thought that was really interesting when he said that, because that's true. You know, sometimes we carry a lot of memory, kind of carry a lot of association and a lot of different things. And to just say we're going to upchuck it and forget about it, you know, and move forward with it, maybe it doesn't serve us necessarily, because not all things are bad in our memory. Not everything was a trauma. Not everything was necessarily something that affected us in a negative way. So I was like, yeah, that makes sense to me. So nothing against
right.
the now. You know, I remember you probably remember how everybody used to say, live in the now, man. Get with it. Live in the now. You know, so every time I hear that, it reminds me of that.
You know, it's true. We can treasure the past, too. You know, there's a lot of great moments there to look back on and to measure ourselves by and go, you know, I used to be this, now I'm this, and I've come this far, and, you know, I've achieved this that I wanted to achieve back then, or this happened when I didn't even dream that this could happen. And, you know, we do that as human beings. We compare, you know, we project forward into the future and go, I wonder what it's going to be like 10 years from now. If it's like this now and this happened in the past, maybe, you know, and that's fine. It's fine to wonder about that. I think the thing that is bad about that, or when that can get to be a hindrance to us, is when we live in that, you know, when we go, oh, you know, the best days of my life were when I was in my 20s, you know, and now, boy, those were good times. Those were the days, you know, and you discount what's happening now in your life, you know, and you go, boy, you know, just everything's gone downhill since then. Or other people are the other way, too. They go, you know, boy, 10 years from now, what am I going to do? Where am I going to be? You know, how am I going to take care of myself? You know, blah, 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 blah. And they, you know, they don't realize that 10 years from now is what is being formed in the moment. You know, every moment as we go forward builds upon the last. And so, you know, like you said, the now is important, but at the same time, it's not everything.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think there's a difference between being in the moment and being in the now? I think they're completely different, but I want to see what your take is on it.
Being in the moment and being in the now. I don't see a difference, really. Not the way I perceive it, anyway. How do you see it?
I don't know. It just feels different for me for some reason. I feel like the now is, like, forced, and the moment maybe seems more inviting. You know, now very... You know, it seems kind of strong, like we're in it now, you know. And then the moment is something that's more precious, something that's more inviting, something that happens naturally. And now it feels for me like if we're not now, then we can't be later or after. But in the moment, you can actually appreciate, you know, what was before and what is to come. So each moment we're stepping into the moment. I mean, they kind of sound the same to me, but they feel different to me. So energetically for me, they don't have the same resonance. And that's the best way for me to describe it.
You said that and explained it that way, because now I can see what you mean about the now. It's like, I get that. You know, it's almost like, you know, you're trying too hard to be when you're in the now, you know, you got to think about it. But when you're in the moment, it's just whatever it is, you know, and but you're present in it. It doesn't have to be exclusive to, like you're saying, exclusive to just what's happening in this, you know, second. So
it just feels like it's a different type of dance.
I saw a movie over the weekend. It's called Interstellar.
Oh yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
You hadn't seen it?
It dealt with time and our perception of it. Part of it was about time anyway, and about we move along in one path, but if you go, you know, according to whatever the laws of physics, you might go somewhere where, you know, an hour is years to someone else. You know, you're spending an hour there and you're whatever, but you go back and years have gone by, and it's time is yeah, I know. Time is kind of elastic. It kind of stretches and contracts, and you know, it's all according to your perception where you are, and you know, it's interesting. We have this idea that time runs in a straight line, and we, you know, we live this many years, and you know, we measure time down to the millisecond, but really it's like it's just one long moment. It's one long existence, and it has its own rules and its own flavor. So Yeah, really made me think. That whole movie makes you really think. So,
I love that movie. It just proves that time is an illusion, you know, that it doesn't really have. It's not tangible like we want it to be, you know. It's not like this thing that we think it should be. You go for an hour on one planet, 7 years. Remember that when they were on the planet where all the big waves were. So that's like that blew my mind. I was like, oh. And they were actually there longer than an hour. Yeah. Their time ran over, and the guy was still on the shits. They got back, and he's like 20 years older.
Yeah. And then
I was doing the math in my head.
Movie. Yeah. I'm 124 years old. And look like, and to them, you know, only a, you know, maybe a couple months had gone by, but back on Earth, you know, years and years and years had gone by. So it's, yeah, it's something to kind of make you go, hmm.
Well, it reminds me of the one saying, sometimes when I go, I wonder if there's aliens out there, and I always hear someone say, there's always somebody in the group says, well, we are the aliens you're looking for, you know?
Right.
And I'm thinking, that makes sense now, you know, I get that. So, you know, eventually we do things that are just really cool, and then we come back, and then nothing's there, or things have changed or warped or in a different time setting. So I find that pretty mm-hmm. cool, pretty amazing.
There was another part of that movie too, a line that that came up in that movie where I think it was a Matthew McConaughey character said, you know, Earth is where we're from, but it's not where we're meant to be, not where we're meant to stay, you know.
Right.
And you know, it's like Earth is where we came from, but maybe it's not where we're destined to be in the end, you know. Mm-hmm. It was interesting too though in that movie the way the Earth seemed to be turning against us in a way, you know. It was almost like it had had enough and was trying to control the population, kind of bring things back under its dominion, you know, as taking away all the food, and you know, there were no more wars because people had to worry about eating, you know. It's like
right.
they could have the extravagance of having a war, you know. It's like, and evidently the population had gone down quite a bit, and you know, it's a different kind of future than we imagine. Speaking of the future, you know, that we think about Star Trek and Star Wars and all these things, you know, futuristic, you know, worlds where we, you know, we have technology. You know, sometimes the future might be just returning back to the basics sometimes, you know, getting back to what's really important.
Yeah, you know, that one scene reminded me of the Dust Bowl. Remember the Dust Bowl? Here in America,
yes.
And then, you know, they created monoculturing, and they just didn't know how to farm the well, and they created the Dust Bowl, basically. Man did that, helped do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there was nothing to grow on. Everything had just become one big bowl of dust. And that movie's kind of on that premise, too, and how they were
right.
picking people
right.
out to have certain jobs and to have certain, excuse me, situations that they had to test into.
That's right. Yeah, you know, you couldn't afford to go to college. So, you know, if you were going to be a farmer, then that's what you were trained for, and that's where you were. You know, they needed more farmers, and they needed engineers and doctors and, you know, scientists and things like that. So, kind of flips it around from now. You know, who wants to be a farmer now? You know, it's like everyone wants to go off and make all this money someplace, or big industrial farms, you know, have taken over the small farmer, but. You know, there's still a place. There's a place for knowing how to work with nature and how to be in touch with it. And, you know, it may not be for everybody to get their hands dirty and everything, but I'm sure glad that there are people who still embrace that knowledge and know those things.
Yeah, I like how they were hunting the drones, the airplanes.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. That was funny.
Yeah, it was. It is a very interesting movie, and if anyone out there hasn't seen it yet, I highly recommend it, just for a number of reasons, because it's it gives you some food for thought, and yeah, it's good.
All right. Let's open the phone lines up and see if anybody has any questions or anything they want to share with us or may want to read. Here
okay.
we go.
I'm ready.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Hi,
Daniel,
what's going on?
Oh, I was just calling in to see if I could get a reading.
Sure, what's your name again?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, okay, thank you.
Hello, Nathaniel.
Sure.
Anything
in particular
on
your mind?
On your mind? Or,
jinx, 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 jinx.
Kind of a general reading. I always
okay.
like to see what they bring up.
All right. David, I'll let you go first since I'm cutting the deck here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to shuffle my cards. I'm going to put my phone down
okay,
for just
cool.
a second.
Wait,
cool. Okay, so I pulled from my wisdom, shaman wisdom cards, I pulled the Rose Moon. I'm going to read the Rose Moon, what that means here. I am Rose Moon. I am beauty unfolding. I am the sweet fragrance of life. To enjoy me, you must deal with my thorns. Beware. They hurt. Under rose moonlight, your qualities are mothering, nurturing, and giving beauty are emphasized. Now is a good time to look at your home environment, examine the thorns and the blossoms. What can you do to improve your space mentally and physically? You may need to mother your own inner child at this time. Tap into your inner strength, your ancient crone, the aged one, and yourself to take care of the teenager who is craving attention. So there's a little bit there to think about and maybe expand upon according to your own situation, your own circumstances. What strikes me first is about the thorns. So the beauty and the thorns there, almost like something looks good, but it also has aspects about it that, you know, you need to be cautious with. So if you're in a situation where something's too good to be true, it probably is. You know, try to look at all the aspects of it and see, you know, just what could be underlying that could cause you some hurt later on. But not to be negative, but just to be aware and cautious, you know. Oh, there's my little dog. He's he's going off there.
He's giving a reading, too.
She says, the card says to mother your own inner child at this time, too. Tap into your inner strength. So try to find, you know, that inner child again, the wonder, the connection with the simple things, you know, maybe some play involved in there, too. You know, I don't know your situation, but maybe you've been working too hard or even just felt cooped up in your own life. You know, now's the time to get out there and you know, and play a little bit, you know, do something you really enjoy. Even if nobody does it with you, go out there and, you know, walk in nature or, you know, I don't know. It's kind of depends on your circumstances, but that's the card that I pulled for you, Nathaniel.
Hey, well, thanks a lot.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty funny that you pulled that card for him because I pulled the card for the Seal. It's about imagination. Immerse yourself in artistic and creative expression. So the first thing that Spirit asked, and you already kind of went there already, David, is are you doing anything fun? Are you having a good time in the process? I mean, are you painting? Are you, you know, experimenting? Are you doing things that are different? If you know anything about the Seal, when he's out of the water or she's out of the water, she's a little more clumsy. She doesn't do things. But when she's in her element, when she's in the water, or he's in the water swimming and just moving and gliding and just doing this beautiful dance, she's a completely different thing. So, I mean, Spirit's kind of asking me, you know, are you playing? Kind of like David's saying, are you playing? It doesn't sound like you're playing enough. And the word Seal is sea, so there's a lot to see. And there's also a big sea out there for you to experiment and try new things. I think it's a lot about drawing yourself to do something that you haven't done in a while or something new, something more exciting. Now that you're in spring, you're able to go out and try and just, you know, try something different. So, try something you've never done before. That thing you've been thinking about, it's time to do that. So that's kind of where I'm at with my read.
Cool. Hey, thanks.
All right, man.
You're welcome.
Have a nice evening. I think sometimes we forget to play, you know? I mean, it's easy to say, hey, let's just go play. But, you know, sometimes we forget. As adults,
right,
we get so bombarded with being adults that we forget that we still have our little inner child inside of us, these little kids. Aspects of ourselves that want to just do, you know, just hang out and have fun. I remember
right.
As a kid, we just run off and just did stuff, you know. We were home by the time the lamppost came on, you know, and, you know, if they came on and you weren't home, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
At least at my house.
It was up to you to know when that time was. That's right. But, you know, and playing doesn't mean being irresponsible either. I think that some people might have that idea that I'm an adult, I've got to be responsible now, and, you know, I don't have time to play or I can't let go of my duties and obligations. But playing is actually good for you. It releases some stress. It releases the things that you're kept inside, you know, and it lets you reconnect to your youth. So it'd be irresponsible of you not to play once in a while, you know, to let yourself just imagine, you know, and do the things that you did as a child. I remember as a child, you know, we didn't have a lot of toys, you know, a lot of games, a lot of video stuff, you know, so you had to go out there and pretend that you were a spaceman or an army ranger or, you know, explorer of new worlds, you know. Those are the kind of games that, and imagination scenarios that we set up, you know. So I'd like to see more people do that. It's good for you.
You're right about that. When we were kids, we had to create our own little worlds. Now all the kids have to do is push on the button on the TV or turn on the PlayStation or whatever, and they're in somebody else's imagination. You know, they're starting to do things that somebody else created. Because when you think about it, that came out of somebody's head. That came out of somebody's, you know, spirit, their soul, and, you know, guided by the universe. So here you are, you know, creating simulated systems in your mind. But it's amazing if you just go outside. Like right now, it's getting really cloudy out here outside. I'm looking out the window here. I'm in the studio. I mean, you can create just like this whole amazing thing right now, like the storm's coming in and you're getting ready to go out. You can see you can smell the air. You can smell the water and the, you know, that's about to fall from the clouds. You're waiting for that bolt of lightning to hit in the distance. And you just create this visual in your head about things. And, you know, I think sometimes we forget to do that as human beings, to just experience, you know, the beauty around us. We're so busy, you know, moving from here to there and there to here, that we forget, you know, that life is, you know, very precious. And, you know, today I, you know, kind of talking about Interstellar, I posted something on Facebook today, and it says, life is long and short all at the same time. I had no clue that you went to that movie, but it's just funny. That's just kind of how we're all connected. You know, we're all thinking about things, and that's just kind of, I find that really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was good.
So let's take another caller and see where they're at.
Sure.
Emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So here we go. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Laura in New Jersey.
Hey, Laura.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Laura.
How are you? Hi.
Good.
So I started a contract, and my goal is to be able to buy a home this year. So I'd like to know, how do you see this contract going for me, and do you think I'll stay on it long enough to get my home, or do you think I'm going to end up quitting and getting another contract?
Well, let's take the first one on this one. Yeah.
Laura, you called in before, correct?
I have in the past, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I know that we talked a little bit about getting your contract. So it sounds like you got the contract, well, at least one of them, right?
I did.
So it sounds like you're in New Jersey now.
Right, yeah.
You were in PA, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah. You have good memory.
Yeah, I remember my people. All right. I'm gonna shuffle some cards here. I'm gonna ask you to give me a number from 1 through 10. Okay.
Okay.
Cards are shuffled.
7.
7. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
I pulled the kangaroo. The kangaroo is about gratitude. Be grateful for all of your blessings that you have today. Okay, so kangaroos just wants you to, what I'm picking up energetically, kangaroo is saying to be grateful and to be in gratitude for the opportunity that you do have presently in front of you. You did get the contract, and is this contract going to stay? The best thing to do with this contract is to be focused on this contract. I know that you want to buy a home and you want to stay focused, but there are going to be little keys. There's going to be little pouches and little things that are popping up that you need to pay attention to, kind of like the little Joey who's inside the pouch there. He pops his head out from time to time. You got to kind of be like that. You got to kind of be, you know, looking, you know, for these opportunities popping up. You know, Mother Earth and Spirit is guiding you and leading you in the right direction and pushing you. But you're the Joey inside the mother. You got to look. You got to pay attention. There's some things coming at you that maybe you're overlooking, that you're overseeing. The contract is solid right now. But, you know, like anything that happens, contracts do end or they get renewed. So a lot of it has to do where you're focusing your energy. Are you focusing your energy on the contract, or are you focusing your energy on this house? So one of them, they're both important, don't get me wrong, but one of them is going to lead you to the other. So when we focus on the job and we focus on this contract that you have right now, and, you know, make sure that it's working properly. Always ask questions. Always be on top of it, and don't assume that everything's okay. Ask those questions, and when you're not sure, be on top of it, because this is very important. This is your livelihood. Nobody else knows that contract better than you do, so stay with it, okay? David, do you have anything you want to add to this?
Well, I would do the Badger card, and that kind of dovetails in with what you're talking about, because the Badger is very assertive. It says, I am Badger. I am assertive. My teeth are sharp and bare. Don't expect me to back down. I fight for what I want, and I usually get it. I may be difficult if you cross me, but my care and custody of that which I defend is strong and assertive. I clearly define the lines of conflict and power struggles. I am quick to express my feelings, especially if I feel threatened or concerned, or cornered, I'm sorry. My judgments are keen and swift. I am assertive. If I burst into your day, you better take me seriously. I fight for my rights, and so should you. You may need to defend the principles you say you believe in. Be prepared to stand up for what you say you believe. It is time to walk your talk. In addition, you may need to get your feelings out. Cry, blow your top, bare your teeth. You'll feel better once you let go. Now turn your anger into passion for the work at hand. Badger digs to the root. Badger medicine says, digest the root, get to the bottom of things, assimilate everything you need to know for healing. So, Badger is very much about knowing yourself and about letting your feelings be known and letting your truth out. You know, Badger doesn't hide anything. Badger defends his home and make sure that the ones that he cares for are defended too. So it's about being aware of yourself and what is good for you and what isn't good for you, and not being afraid to speak up and say, I don't like this. You know, this isn't feeling right. So how that plays into your situation, I guess that's really kind of up to you to say, but that's the card that I've got for you. And I think it kind of dovetails with what Iggy was saying about being sure of what you've got in front of you. Is that right, Iggy? Do you feel that?
Yeah, it feels right for me. It all depends on Laura if it feels right for her, but your read kind of matches up.
Are you getting a feeling that they're going to like my work, or that they're going to approve of me on this contract? Do you think this will be a successful contract for me?
Kangaroo's saying don't jump. So I don't know what that means, don't jump.
That means I've been getting other contracts, people calling me about contracts, and I was wondering if maybe I should jump and go to a different contract, because I'm not loving this contract, but at the same time I've been saying I am in gratitude for it because I need the money. I'm grateful that I got this contract when I did. I don't love it, but I'm telling myself it's going to get better. It will get better. I know it. I'm new. I'm learning all the new stuff, and it's toughest in the beginning, but they're just kind of like throwing us in the deep end and expecting us to learn everything on our own, and there hasn't been a lot of guidance. So it's kind of been frustrating. And then when you brought up the Badger, I was in a meeting today with a lot of the top brass, and we were going through PowerPoint presentations that they're going to be doing at this big convention. And I kept finding issues with some of the PowerPoints, you know, problems with some of the content and stuff, the way they were presenting it. So I was just bringing that up. And one of the concepts that they're using is just flat out wrong, and I stood my ground. And the one guy didn't really like it too much, but I still stood my ground because I know that where I'm coming from and what I was saying was absolutely right, at least in my field, because I know my field and I know it very well. Good. But I did go over to him afterwards, after the meeting was over and everything, and we cleared the air, so everything's good with that. I just want to make sure that I'm coming across in a positive light, but also assertive and knowledgeable about my stuff. So I want to make sure that I'm still coming across well to the upper leadership.
Too. I'm getting that feeling too. And David, what I'm hearing also is that you need to do a little ceremony for yourself, a little honoring about, you know, the things that you're doing, and a way to acknowledge who you are and what you're doing in this job. Sometimes we just go home and, you know, it's done, you know. having a little ceremony for yourself, either, you know, relaxing in a nice tub of, you know, warm water or whatever, and just, you know, just reflecting on the day and journaling what's going on is super important. So Spirit's kind of leading me to tell you that, to find some kind of some way to express gratitude to yourself, you know, for doing the best that you can with the tools that you have in the situation you're in.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
It's scary. It's scary, though, it is. And I just want to do well and succeed and be able to get my home at the end of the day.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all tied in for me, and I worry sometimes. I worry a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, I know my stuff, and I stand my ground when I know my stuff and I know what I'm doing. And these guys don't know. They don't know my field the way I know it, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
I stood my ground. So when you talked about the badger, it made sense. And the kangaroo also made sense because, again, I was thinking about jumping, and they're saying to stay put. So I'm going to stay put.
All right. Sounds good, Laura.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Reading.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
You know, sometimes it's difficult to want to stay in a situation that maybe is uncomfortable. You know, initially it might be uncomfortable and it may be kind of hard, but eventually you start to, you know, you start to learn how to dance within the situation. So those are the kind of things that we all have to learn that. I mean, I don't think anybody's exempt from that. There's sometimes you fall in a situation that seems perfect, and then sometimes you fall into a batch of piranhas and you're like, wow, how do I get through this one?
Right. But really, it's all up to you and what's inside of you. You know, those situations will bring out what, you know, the good and the bad. And somebody who is open to seeing both sides can learn a lot about themselves and grow into that situation. It's not so much the situation, it's how you adapt to it, you know, and you can get through it and come out stronger. Or it can really set you back a long ways too if you don't have that kind of attitude of letting it be what it is for you. So, you know, it's
absolutely
life's full of challenges like that. It really is.
Yeah. Life does challenge us. So let's take a quick break. Don't hang up, folks. We still gotta take your calls here. And the call number is 646-595-3440. We hope you're enjoying this segment of the readings. If you have something you want to share with us about the show, about what you heard earlier, we'll be right back after the break.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
We're just taking a little break, so... Gotta come down and say hi.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Breakdancing into your living room. It's Dave and Iggy.
Iggy and Dave.
We're back. All right,
yes,
so
we're
going to move on.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What were you saying, David?
I was just going to say, you know, I'm watching out my window and I see those clouds you're talking about. Sun is still kind of shining through them here, but it's getting kind of gray out there, but it's like 50 shades of gray, so it's interesting.
In my case, it's either 49 or 51, so I don't know.
You haven't stopped counting yet, huh?
Okay, let's take a caller here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello.
Hello.
904, you are on the air. And they could be listening, so.
Yep, that's true.
Okay, so we'll put you back on hold, and let's go down here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello. All right.
Shy people out there tonight.
That's okay. That's great. Not wrong being shy. All right, and I think I ran the whole list here. All right, so, well, hold on a second. Let's try this one here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi, what's going on?
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. You both said good at the same time. I think I called in once maybe last year at some time.
All right, cool.
I haven't called in a while. Yeah, but now since I have a contract job, I'm back working again. I have my evenings off for once. But will you just ask any question, or do you want me to be specific?
Yeah. I'll have whatever you feel like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a contract job right now, and it's supposed to end in 2 weeks because it's when I'm done with what I'm doing, the project. That's basically, the people are really nice there, but I don't think they have any more work to give me after this. Do you see me finding another job? I don't want to be unemployed.
I've still been in your position because I work contract jobs too. You know, I'm in the IT field.
I've been doing
it
for a year.
Oh, boy. You know, it can be very unsettling, and then, you know, you can't really plan much, you know, because you don't know what you're going to be doing in 3 months. You know, it's difficult, you know.
At least no one's ripped the rug out from under me. They tell me up front what happens, and they've been totally straight up each time. You know what I'm saying? And it's actually decent money, and you get benefits with it, but I'm looking for permanent. But that's my question. I'm just very nervous, that's all. Please don't mind me.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
What's your name, caller?
It's Sharon. I'm sorry. That's Sharon.
Sure.
Okay. You got anything yet, Iggy?
Yeah, it's funny because when I pulled this card, I pulled the wolf. Do you remember what card I pulled for you last time?
Oh, I don't. I honestly don't.
I remember your voice, and I'm pretty sure that I pulled this card for you because it feels – this card just keeps popping out.
You've got a phenomenal memory if you do. And I remember there was a woman with you that evening.
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah, it's probably either Katie or somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I pulled this card. I'm pretty sure it's the same card, and it's the wolf, and it's about the guardian. You are safe and protected at all times. So Spirit says – you know, you're protected. You have a great guardian. A wolf's a great guardian to have. And to know that you have, you know, this energy with you and your totem is so powerful. Yeah, it's okay to be human and to feel, you know, nervous and scared. But know that you are protected, that you are going to find a job at some point. It doesn't look like it's going to happen extremely quickly like you want it maybe. But there's always buts here because you can change your reality. You can change how you experience life and the things you can have. It's your experience to change. Not mine. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep applying. Just reach out to whatever. However you've done this before, you might have to tweak it a little bit. I see tweaking a lot in this read. I see something that where you have to adjust a little bit. I don't know what that means.
Resume. It's my resume. Different. Yes. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so I'm seeing that right now energetically. That you need to work them out. But there is a couple things that Spirit is telling me that you need to be on attention about. Number one, your health, and number one, how you're approaching life. On you know, about how you are seeing. Are you having fun? I guess is my point. Are you having fun while you're
no,
at this?
No, I haven't. Been.
Okay.
You
those
know,
are two things.
A job is a job. I spend 70% of my life doing. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah. Spirit's kind of saying, you know, you need to play a little bit, you know, because it's. You want to be able to be healthy when you go into these positions, whenever you go in, whenever you present yourself. You have to come across with a spunk of life, kind of say. You know, you don't want to be going in there feeling, you know, drained or upset or worried. You need to go out. There's something about a carousel, a wheel turning, something that's spinning. I can see that in my head. I don't know if there's an amusement park or there's something close to you or even one of those little things that you find in the park, those things that spin around. Just go on there and just spin on there for a little bit, you know, and just meditate and relax and, you know, and find that inner child of yours and play a little bit. And David, you got anything you want to add to this?
I don't know if you can pick up a quick answer because you get things in your head. Do you think they'll keep me a couple extra weeks at this current job? They're so nice there. And I know they like me.
Communication is important. So you should ask them that and say, hey, could you guys keep me a couple more weeks? Who knows? Maybe they're waiting for you to ask. I don't know.
Okay,
but
I just wondered. Okay,
communication is huge. I see communication. So I'll let David roll in his read because I can sense he's picked something up for you.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
you know
so
that.
Much. You've got such a good memory, sir. Let me tell you, you do. That's a good. That is a phenomenal trait anyone can have, believe me. It's a compliment.
Well, thank you for noticing.
So I also agree with Iggy about I feel good about if you come out and say, you know, I'm really interested in staying on a couple more weeks, you know, they value you. They know what you've got to offer. So they will do everything they can to find something for you to contribute to. So that's a positive thing. I feel like you've got a good connection with those folks. What I drew for
really
you was
nice.
Called the
yeah.
heat. No, they are, yeah. I can tell you guys got something going on, so it's good. But I drew the heat moon card for you, and what that says is, I am heat moon. I am the fire of creativity. I am the warm moon of summer, of doing, of activity. I spark all kinds of new ideas. I am art and beauty. In my intense light, you will find yourself honoring your creativity. Take time right now to express yourself through art or craft. Paint a painting, knit a shawl, create a prayer stick. Fill your creation with power and strength of your intentions. Let the power and let the sparks flow. Make it count. Your children, be they human, sons or daughters, or the reflection of your creativity, artwork, or career, need your attention this time. Give it happily and freely. Find new ways to bring a little romance into your life. You'll enjoy it. So if that kind of goes along with what Iggy was saying about, you know, play a little bit, be creative, even if it's just laying out and looking at clouds and making pictures out of clouds, and, you know, let that part of your mind that's not, you know, so analytical and, you know, oriented towards work, let that kind of come out a little bit, and, you know, you'll find many opportunities and many ways that that's going to help you on the job, too. It's going to make your mind a little more free-flowing.
Relaxed.
More,
yeah.
Yep, relaxed, outside the box, you know. You know, let those words kind of just roll around in your conscious, your subconscious, and see what that brings you. But, yeah, take a step back and, you know, kind of look at things in a new light, with new eyes, and see if you can find creative ways to, you know, to find solutions to what's on your mind. So that's my read.
Okay.
All right, Sharon. You go out, make your luck, okay? Thank you for calling.
Have a nice evening.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
We've had some former callers call in. You know, that's kind of good to hear them, their voices. I can remember their voices and their situations. And it's good to hear that they've got their contracts that they were looking for,
mm-hmm.
which is nice, you know, for them.
Because
we want
it
them
is.
To do well. So pretty sweet. That's
kind
awesome.
Kind of a theme of the night is contracts, you know, and like I was saying, that's kind of the way a lot of occupations go nowadays. You know, instead of hiring full time, they'll take contractors on and test them out and see. But and yeah, it can be stressful. Yeah, I've been there before. You know, and wondering, you know, in 6 months, am I going to have a job? You know, what's this going to be like? You know, you're feeling competition with a lot of people. But if you have your own center, you know, if you have your own confidence in that, I've always said, you know, I only have one boss, and that's Spirit. You know, Spirit's always going to look out for me. It's always going to take me where I need to go, you know, and give me the situations that are best for me, even if they come in disguises of that they didn't expect. You're still going to be cared for, taken care of, and directed by a higher power. So, you know, some boss may not like you or whatever, but he's not really your boss. Your boss is the Spirit that brought you into this world and that has cared for you every moment since then. So that's how I look at it.
I agree with you 100% there. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, Spirit will always have your back. And it's our job, you know, and I really have to say it like this, it's our job to pay attention and to be aware when Spirit's throwing us a bone, per se, you know, that's kind of, you know, throwing
right.
us, you know, the opportunity in front of us. A lot of us, kind of get short. I've got short with Spirit, you know. So, hey, what about me? And I'm like, you know, it's normal.
Right.
It's normal to be human. It's normal to be, you know, flawed. It's normal to have, you know, these moments of, you know, of limiting and inferior and different things in your mind. We wouldn't be human We're human doings and human beings. We're all the things at the same time, you know. Sometimes we're being, and sometimes we're doing, and sometimes we're just human.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. No, it's a beautiful experience.
Yeah. I mean, you can experience however you want because it's your experience. And that's the cool thing, you know. How you want to experience the clouds rolling in here to be like, oh, it's going to rain, or wow, that's pretty cool. So it's your choice, you know, how you look at life and how you project onto life and how life projects back onto you and how you project onto people and people project back onto you. We teach people how to treat us. You know, people treat us the way that we project onto them. You know, we get what we get sometimes because of the way we behave and the way we respond to things. So are you responding or reacting? So that's one of those things that's very important to know. You know, how do you approach life? Do you respond when somebody says something, or are you reacting to when somebody says something? They're two different things.
Right. Yeah. So, that's very empowering, too. You know, it gives us the power to control, you know, how we experience life. You know, instead of being a victim of our circumstances, we actually become the creator of our circumstances, the interaction of our environment and our whatever's around us. You know, we become a participant in it. So it's empowering.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't matter. In life, you're participating all the time. Even laying in bed, not doing anything, you're participating. That's your participation, is not participating in certain things. But you have that right. That's your choice. But then there are other people who are making things happen, who are out there doing things, and you know they're willing to, you know, jump off a cliff and see what would happen. But they're participating in their own way, and they're experiencing life in their own way. And I'll tell you right now, life is very short. And life happens very quickly. You'll wake up one day and you're going to go, wow, what happened? Because, you know, I'm pushing 50. You know, I'm 48, but I'm pushing that 50 button. And I tell you, I remember when I was 20, and it felt like it was only 10 years ago. You know, it feels like it was just a little short time ago. And it went fast. So now we have these opportunities to recreate ourselves and to become something completely different than what we've created. We bought into a system, and we bought into something that completely has molded us into what they need us to be. And for me, it's time to start breaking off, chipping off a little bit of that mold that's been put on me, and change it. You know, and wear a different hat, wear a different suit. You know, go barefooted. You know, it's time. You know, because I don't want to be that guy laying in my bed. Man, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have made that decision. I wish I would have gone out with that person. I wish I would have gone to the movies when, you know. I don't want to be the wish I had kind of person. I don't want to have that. I don't want to be that. You know, that just seems too easy. I want to be able to say that I went to, you know, Machu Picchu and climbed the mountain and put on my squirrel suit and jumped off of it and glided and got arrested, of course, at the end at the bottom. but you know, just want to try something different, you know?
Yeah, you know, sure, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall down. You're going to feel, you know, maybe embarrassed about something, but you know what? You learn from it, you grow from it, and you're going to find that you're better at some things than you thought you would be. Take drumming, for instance. You know, how many, for 50 years, I never thought I had any talent for music at all. You know, and I picked up a drum one day and I started drumming on it. You know, and pretty soon I'm looking around going, hey, who's playing the drum? That sounds pretty good. And I look down and it's me, or actually my inner drummer that was drumming, the drummer that was always there. But I never let that person out. I never let that part of me out. So there's parts of you, anybody who's listening, there's parts of you that you may not have let out yet that you'll be surprised at what you're capable of. You'll never know until you put yourself into that test, into that, you know, stand on the edge of that cliff, you know, with that squirrel suit on and jump. And then you're in it. You know, you can't turn back, but at the same time, you're living in that moment. That's life. You know, life's not standing on the cliff. Life is living in the moment, falling, flying, and free. So there you go.
Yeah. All right, let's take another call. Let's see how they're living life and where they're at.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, what's going
on? Hi.
Hi there. My name's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hello,
yeah.
Susan.
I was just wondering if you saw me moving to my mother's home or staying with my boyfriend.
You said moving to your mother's house? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm going to put the phone down and shuffle my cards around a little bit.
All right, pick a number from 1 through 10.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Bum-ba-dum-dum-dum. Okay, I picked a card that I have not seen for quite some time. I picked a lizard. The lizard is about dream time. Pay attention to your dreams and visions. All right, so time to move to mom's house or time to move into the boyfriend's house? That's the question, correct?
Actually, I live with the boyfriend at his mom's
house. Oh, okay, cool. All right. This one has a lot of weird energy for me. If you know anything about lizards, they have kind of like this shedding of skins and releasing things. And they're also cold-blooded, so they need to stand inside on the sun and heat up a little bit. There's some cold energy here. And then, like, the room's really cold right now where I'm at. I feel a lot of, cold. I don't know if that resonates with you, cold or anything. But I'm feeling the energy is not moving. Like, there's something very stagnant. I don't know if that's between you and your mom or your boyfriend's house. But Spirit's asking to pay attention to your visions and your dreams. So there's something about you that you're not fulfilling, that you're not following through on. I know you asked about a house and moving in with your mom, but there's something about you that Spirit wants to know. If you're doing, are you idle? Are you moving? For what reasons? Is it things not going well with the boyfriend, or is it something that just seems like you need to be where you're at with your mom? I don't feel... What's that?
There's a lot. I'm sorry. You know, his mother might be selling her home. She's 82 and moving to Florida because of finances. And I have stage 4 breast cancer, so I'm not really working right now. I'm on disability.
Okay.
So it's a lot. I haven't lived in my mother's home for 15 years. So I've only been living with my boyfriend and his mother for almost 4 years. So before that, I lived on my own for 11 years. So,
okay.
That
would make a lot of sense why I feel the cold. I can feel that. There's a lot going on in your life. There's a lot of change, energetically, there's a lot of things stopped. There's some things that you and your mom need to address about something. I'm not sure exactly what that is. We always have something with our parents we have to address, but there's something there before you move into the situation with your mom. I kind of feel like you're going to go home for some reason. Energetically, but I think you need to talk to your mom and you need to sit with her. And I don't know, there's some aspect to her that's not resonating with what's going on in the situation, what's happening. I really feel that maybe you need to reach out somehow, maybe with another person to be with you, because it's very hard. It's very difficult. I feel difficult. So
yeah.
Energetic, that's why I'm picking up.
That's correct. You are correct. It is very difficult. And also, she's 79, so, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to be 46. A part of me feels so guilty, like, okay, so you just go get a job and, you know, just suck it up and deal with it. And, you know, and I'm just kind of, I don't know what to do. So, you know, I don't want to be a burden on anybody. I really don't.
No, you're not a burden. Number one, whatever you feel that dreams and visions are important to you. Things that you haven't completed need to be completed at some degree right now. That could be just relationships in themselves or just something that you haven't done in a while, something that just draws a passion out of you that you haven't done in a while. Okay, so that we can lift that quote a little bit and move it through. And David, do you have anything you want to add, please?
Well, I drew the card of quartz. Says, I am quartz, I am your seer stone. Go within my crystalline rainbow and draw down from the heavens to energize and focus your thoughts. I am the amplifier of prayers and wishes, and I am here to help you realize your highest potential. It is a time of communications to transform your knowledge and combine it with universal and spiritual development to balance and counteract negative thought forms in all people. I am the reflection of all that is good. I am crystal. So what that's saying to me in the context of what's going on with you and what I've heard so far, it's telling me, like Iggy said, to listen to your dreams, to reach out into spirit and ask to pray about it, to make sure that that there's confusion inside of you, of course, for what's going on, and make sure there's a lot going on. This is crystal very clear, so this is the time to become clear about where you're going, what's, you know, what the direction ahead is, and what's your highest good. So I think a little bit of reflection, a little bit of listening, a little bit of being aware of your dreams and some of the little voices that whisper at you every day would go a long way towards giving you the right direction. I also see, like Iggy does, that you're going to be going back to your mom, and that you know, there's going to need to be some adjustment of that relationship a little bit, whether it's talking about something or, you know, just getting some things out in the open that you're afraid of, you know, and hearing her, however she's going to react to it or wants to speak about it. Just let that communication flow. Try not to be buying into, you know, the reaction so much as just letting it be what it is, you know, and there'll come a reconciliation, there'll come a communication, and you know, it'll be fine. It's just that there's stuff in the way that needs to get out of the way. So, but you, as Iggy said too, you're not a burden. You know, you can be a very valuable thing for your mom as well. You know, not sure exactly her situation, but maybe she would like to have another person around. You know, maybe someone to kind of look out after her a little bit too, and to help and support her in a way too. So, just let yourself be a little more clear about things, and you know, try to calm down and listen to the voice of spirit. It's always there, and it's always encouraging you to do the right thing. So,
okay. I will say that my mom isn't alone. My older brother lives with her. So,
okay.
You know, and that's another story. They're the only family I have, you know.
Sure.
I mean, there's cousins that I've never met, and, you know, distant and all that. But as for actual family, it's just my mom and my brother. And, you know, it was joke to her saying, "Mom, you know, this isn't like a head cold. You know, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not just going to go away." You know, and I just,
right.
Maybe she just doesn't know how to. I guess she just doesn't know how to deal with it. I think in her mind, she thinks I'll get better, you know, and things will go back to being how they were. And
I think some of how she's going to deal with it depends upon you too, and how you react and act around her and everything. And she's going to see that, you know, that how you deal with it and how you carry on too. So it's, you know, it's kind of up in your ballpark as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if I don't ask for anything, it's usually best when I don't ask for anything, you know, which I try not to. I try not to ask them for anything because, you know, it's kind of always been that way. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if I didn't ask them for anything for, I don't know, you know, I haven't asked my mother for money in a while. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then if I turn around and ask for money, she acts like, you know, I've been asking every day, you know, and,
sure.
and so, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's whatever it is, you know, but I'm the type of person, if I have it, I'll give it to you, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm helping out my boyfriend and his mother with the cable and the phone and the internet, you know, and my mom will say, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, if I don't pay it, you know, it's not going to get paid, and I live here, and I don't mind doing that. It's just, you know, you just can't really win, you know. And when I ask about, well, maybe I can come back home, then, well, I want to wait for radiation. I don't want to, you know. And so, and I do pray, and I ask for guidance, and what should I do? And, you know, I'm just overwhelmed. Maybe that's the coldness that you feel, or I don't know.
I feel two things that are very strong also is unconditional love, okay, and I also feel a purging, okay, of releasing, and that not releasing that is causing you a lot of stuff in your system, and not opening your mouth and speaking your true voice and not opening up. I feel it's time for you to have ceremony with some trees nearby in a park or something, get some sage out and just sit there and reflect back on the things that, you know, have troubled you over the years that have maybe caused this part of you to fight itself and cause itself to, you know, say, hey, you know what, I want you to pay attention. Look at me, you know, that I'm going to give you this so you can pay attention to me. There's a part of you that's struggling with itself. And so unconditional love and giving gratitude and thanks for the things that, you know, even the smallest little things that you may have had received from your mom or from whoever or yourself. But I really feel to ground and to be with Sarah in ceremony, you know, so you can live, you know, the life that you need to really live, you know, what's in your heart, what's really buried in that dream and that passion that's inside of you. I really feel spirit saying unconditional love and purging. And purging means just releasing and maybe having to go out into the park and just open your mouth and yell and just give it away, you know, to something higher and more powerful than all of us here on this radio show.
Okay.
All right, Susan, thank you very much. We really appreciate you for calling, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Many blessings.
Okay, thank you.
Wow, you know, people go through a lot of things, you know, and it could be that person walking down the street that, you know, you don't even give a thought to. Could be carrying a lot of burdens in life and a lot of things going on in their mind. And so, you know, just for us, it's all about gratitude, all about appreciation and about compassion, about empathy, about understanding the human condition, you know, that you may look like, you know, somebody that I wouldn't want to be around, but that doesn't mean anything. That's just my judgment. You are a human being. You're precious. You're here for a reason. You're in my life for a reason. And then I have ears to hear you with, you know. You know, I can learn from you. We can be on common ground. So it's, the human experience. I mean, we go through a lot of things in life, and they temper us. They bring out who we are. Sometimes they bring out the yucky stuff, and sometimes we shine because of it. So, but that's our story. That's our journey.
Yeah, you made a powerful point. You know, you really, nobody knows what anybody's really going through at any given time. And that's super huge. To even think your next door neighbor, you know, he looks fine, she looks fine, but you know, when you get to know people, then you start to hear their story and things that put them where they're at. We're all on this planet. We're all going to have our day. You know, we all have to, you know, someday leave it, and how we leave it, and where we leave it, and how we want to be remembered, or how we want to remember it. It's up to us, you know. Even in the pain and even in the sorrow, you know, even within those pain and sorrow, we can find joy and happiness in the things. We don't know why things happen to us. And, you know, we can just live angry and move forward. I've been sick, so I know what it feels like. I have been on both sides. I understand. But, you know, in the end, we have the choice to say, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to experience it like this versus like this. Or I could experience it like this or like that. It's up to you. It's up to us.
All right. Absolutely. You know, it's all, you ever look at a stained glass window, it's beautiful. It's made up of all these little pieces and different colors and different textures and different shapes, you know, and our life can be like that too. You know, we can look at one piece and focus on it and think that's our whole life, but really it's a piece in the pattern. And when you put the whole pattern together and see it as spirit sees it, it's beautiful. Uh-huh. It's your unique story, your unique tapestry that you've woven as you've been here. And you may think you made a mistake or, you know, that you don't like that part or whatever, but it all works together, you know, and it all becomes one. So,
absolutely. Well, my friend, we've come to the bottom of the hour, and our 90 minutes is just about up. I want to thank everybody
already?
For calling in.
Wow. Yep.
It goes that quick sometimes. So I want to say I love you, brother, for being with here,
love
being
you
with me on the show. And love everybody who's called in, everybody who's been in the chat room. Tomorrow we'll be on, you know, with Lunchtime Wisdom at noon. So if you can call in. If we didn't get a call in today, you can call in tomorrow and we finish up our readings. But we're out of time. So I want to say goodnight to everybody. Ho'oponopono, much love.
Much love and peace.
my team reporters.